Hi everyone, I'm Lee Stapert, Editor-in-Chief of Keystone Edge. Welcome back to PRISM, a podcast series produced in partnership with the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts. The goal of these conversations is to shine a light on the power of creativity in PA communities. In this episode, we're talking about cultivating the fertile ground for a creative community to grow. Troops of community development professionals, government officials, grant writers, city planners, and engaged citizens are putting in the work across the state, helping nurture their local art scenes. They do this not just because they believe it improves quality of life and beautifies the built environment, but because a thriving creative sector creates jobs, boosts the economy, and brings energy back to downtowns. It's a win-win-win-win-win-win-win. To explore this symbiotic relationship between bureaucracy and the arts, we welcome civil servants from Cory, a small city in Erie County, and York, PA. Be forewarned, this was one of our most lively and inspiring conversations yet. We talked steampunk, graffiti-covered concert venues, First Friday, and public art. Buckle up.
I'm Charles Eurydice Gray. I'm Executive Director of Impact Cory.
And what is your relationship with Cory? Did you grow up there?
No, I actually grew up about 33 miles away in Warren, Pennsylvania. And then worked in theater for most of my career all around the nation, but kept dabbling in community and economic development. And this position came open and I wanted to give it a try.
And for people who haven't been there, which is probably most listeners since this is a very large state, no offense to Cory, but it's a very big place. Can you describe Cory for me? What is the built environment like? What is the population like? What is the sort of overall feel of the town or small city?
So Cory is a small city, you're right, in northwestern Pennsylvania, between the Allegheny National Forest, Lake Erie, and the big city lights of Cleveland and Pittsburgh. Cory came into being in the late 1800s, and historical record says it grew up overnight as if by magic, where two rail lines crossed. Cory became a powerful inland city of trade, manufacturing, and innovation and arts. The national economic retractions and changes in transportation that started in the 1950s hit Cory really hard. It started a cycle of disinvestment known well to all Rust Belt communities. The disinvestment led to shuttered stores, loss of population, and generations of poverty above 20%. But Cory is not having that be the final chapter. Today, Cory is inhabited by just north of 6,000 neighbors, and it's a town brimming with invention and energy and grit. And the people who live here support one another and roll up their sleeves to get things done. The downtown is reactivating. We actually had 9 stores open during COVID and succeed. The architecture is largely Victorian. And due to our roots, we are rebranding ourselves as a combination of steampunk and innovation. We say we grew because the rail lines came. Well, now the speed of business is fiber optic. So we're committed to 100% gig fiber network minimum throughout our city, throughout our school district, and we're building a technology center.
Part of this conversation is focused on the interplay of governance with promotion of the arts and why they think that's a good bet for cities and towns in Pennsylvania. Can you talk a little bit about what Cory is doing to foster a creative community and why the town thinks this is a good bet to make?
An analogy I use is the recessions and the economic strictures were like a forest fire. It laid bare. And the first plants to come into a clearing after a forest fire are called the pioneering plants. And they're usually the most beautiful plants. They're the wildflowers. And they get things started and then bring the rest. We believe that arts are the pioneering plants. Bringing in artists into a community is the surest way to start the progression for that community to rise. There's a lot of older economic thought that didn't have the data to back that up, but we're finding more and more as we do things, the community is seeing the difference, believing in it, and really supporting and being involved in all the efforts. And we integrate art into everything we do. So we're doing a Mission Main Street where it's facade renovation. Well, if you're involved in that program, the first person you get paired with is an artist who helps you visualize what your store will look like when it's done. We've received a Pennsylvania Council on the Arts grant to bring art to our community. And every year, what we're doing is looking at all the things that we want to have that communicate who we are to the outside world, all the amenities, the wayfinding, the benches, the bike racks, the lighting displays. And through that grant, we're doing residencies, community learning sessions, and a design contest every year that invites artists and innovators to design the things that will be on our streets. And that celebrates our past of innovation. It's called the Climax and Corsets Innovation Festival. And this year, our design competition is based on a bike rack sculpture that incorporates innovation. So I can't wait to see what happens.
So what has been the response from the local community to these types of initiatives? Has there been any pushback in terms of, you know, maybe people not fully buying into the idea that this is where dollars should go, this is where energy should go?
At the first, there was a lot of questions about that, but our philosophy is we don't move without our community. So we do a lot of education. Literally until about a month and a half ago, I was a one-person operation. So we really had to have volunteers who believed in this enough that they would go to bat for it. So we have well over 60 champions who are local community members that bring a raft of skills in, and they've become our advocates. I speak a lot of places. We're very in communication. Like right now, we're designing a splash pad and ice rink that's going to be in a downtown park. We did a live meeting with our community, a virtual meeting. It's in the paper. We write up every design change. We share it on Facebook. And literally, we're finding that if you do that communication work, the pushback is minimal. And what some people consider pushback, I consider something that we might have to consider. Like, so you're putting a splash pad by railroad tracks. People have some questions. That's not pushback. That's good thinking, right? So we listen to it, and then we develop our ideas to fit not only the end result that we need, the economic development, but also to include what we learn from our community.
Now let's hear from someone in another corner of the state, York County to be exact.
My name is Silas Chamberlain. I'm Vice President of Economic and Community Development at the York County Economic Alliance, and we function as York County's Chamber of Commerce, Certified Economic Development Organization, and oversee a Main Street program and Business Improvement District.
As someone who has some Pennsylvania knowledge, York has a lot of associations. I think about historic architecture, I think a lot about industry, I think a lot about snacks, but I don't know if arts is at the top of my list. What work are you guys doing to try to change that?
In a lot of ways, we're building on strengths that we've had for a long time, but also trying to reach new audiences to better understand what role the arts play in our community and in our economy. We're really blessed with some strong organizations, like a very large performing arts theater, the Appel Center in downtown York, which is our largest community, and then a countywide allied arts organization, the Cultural Alliance of York County, who are just great partners that every day, I think, are making the point that the arts are relevant, not just, you know, for a cultural appreciation, but also to our economy, to our well-being, to our sense of community and civic engagement. I think the pivot we've seen in recent years is trying to get organizations like my own, the York County Economic Alliance, to adopt what advocates for the arts have been saying all along, that there's all these benefits that go well beyond just the arts in and of themselves. So, you know, we've tried to take that very seriously and pivot our economic development strategy, which includes, you know, everything about our economy, from workforce development to real estate development to urban revitalization. and make it more focused on people-based and place-based economic development. And obviously, when you're leading with how does your economic strategy benefit the quality of life of individuals and how does it leverage place, the arts play a very prominent role in both of those. And it's allowed us to really create some economic development tools that have relevance countywide, not just in our large cities or our large boroughs, but in small towns and rural areas. And often we're leading with an arts-based, cultural-based, humanities-based approach that is pretty novel for economic development. But as you heard in Corey, the same is true in York County. It's a really effective way to engage more people and drive some authentic economic development.
Can you share any specific examples from York that you think are illustrative in terms of how this is working for you?
One place that comes to mind right away is in Glen Rock, Pennsylvania. It's southern York County. It's a former railroad community with some former textile factories, really small town tucked into a little valley. But along the former rail line, there's now a heritage rail trail. So a rail trail that goes about 16 miles between Maryland and the city of York and then continues on both ends. And, you know, it gets around 300,000 to 400,000 uses per year. And we launched what we call the York County Trail Towns program to try to get people to come off that trail and other trails throughout our county and actually visit Glen Rock and spend some time there and visit other trail towns. In Glen Rock, there's something called Ruins Hall, which is just the foundation that's left behind of a building. It's privately owned, but every inch of the foundation, which is a really big structure, is covered in graffiti. And the graffiti evolves and changes over time. And it's not sort of just graffiti for graffiti's sake. It's a whole culture around how the graffiti is created, how it's maintained, how it changes over time. And that foundation has become a platform for public events like performing arts, brew festivals, car shows. And we've been investing some of our public funding from Pennsylvania Department of Community and Economic Development and PA Council on the Arts into better programming that space, tying it more closely into the trail, and really taking what was an asset for many years and really making it a crown jewel of the Heritage Rail Trail and of Southern York County. Really, there's no limit to the potential of those kinds of assets in small communities across York County.
That is very cool. And I realize I never asked you about your relationship to York.
I grew up in York County, in Northern York County, and lived here up until I went to college. And I had lived in a very, very rural part of the county and wanted the complete opposite. So went to Temple University in North Philadelphia and got very different experience, and then moved to the Lehigh Valley for about a decade and came back to York County, like so many people who move away and end up coming back, about 5 years ago, to serve as CEO of our downtown economic development organization, and that evolved into my current countywide role. I feel like a lifelong resident of York, but also have gotten to see larger cities, rural areas, and work across, you know, big chunks of Pennsylvania.
You're listening to Prism on Keystone Edge, in partnership with the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts, which believes that building stronger communities takes creativity. Learn more about how the council supports Pennsylvania's diverse creative sector at arts.pa.gov.
Now I'm going to bring Charles and Silas together to talk more about their work and their respective communities. My first question to both of you is that I think a lot of this is about attraction and retention, right? Keeping talented people in these towns, bringing new people in. And I think that you can make a quality of life argument with the arts. But I think what we're also, you guys have both been talking about, is there's a real economic incentive that this creates jobs and it creates energy. Chuck, do you want to just jump in and talk about maybe your goals around attraction and retention?
We are stressing retention first. Right now, I'm putting together a grant that has about 6 regional partners that we're going to be building bridges of trust between our entrepreneurs and all the resources, governmental, economic development, to grow their businesses. But we're doing it through the lens of our downtown. We're focused on what is unique and remarkable, with a heavy concentration on food and arts. So as we do this, each business is going to have a handhold. What is your exact growth issue? What is the best strategy to move forward? And it's even right down to having artists, having someone from Erie Arts and Culture, someone from the Erie County Chamber, literally come to the store and talk about the impressions and how art and marketing could help that store succeed. Overall, we are literally building an entire artistic ecosystem in our downtown. When you come here, it's going to feel not like a stage set, but like as if you are in a Victorian setting, but everything will surprise you with innovation. Now we're working with an LED artist. Corey doesn't stand out. You can drive past. There's a state highway that went a mile north, so people don't even know where Corey is sometimes. We're working with an LED artist, so he's actually creating an installation that as you drive by, it can be a marketing panel, it can be pure art, and it's changeable, and it's innovation. And that economic development, people come where light is, where activity is. So the arts really are what we're seeing as part of the definition of our retail district.
That sounds very familiar to how we look at it in York. And really, I think we're trying to increasingly blur the lines between saying, oh, you know, this is how we're deploying art in our community, or this is an arts, you know, focused project. And I think, like Chuck was saying, trying to use the arts as a platform for completing, you know, civic projects in the community and capital projects, or getting different groups that might not otherwise be engaged together to, you know, work side by side on some of these community goals. In York, particularly in the city of York, we have always really led with the arts, I would say. Back in the 80s and 90s, when most people were moving out of the city of York and small businesses were closing and moving to the suburbs, it really was the arts that helped York hang in there and really started to draw people back. When we started doing our First Friday programming every first Friday of the month back in the 90s, it really started with a couple of art galleries and a couple of merchants that agreed to stay open. And, you know, in 20 years, that's become an event where on a nice first Friday, like we'll have coming up here in July, we'll get 10,000 people in the downtown and, you know, have 150 businesses and galleries open. But it really started with, I think, what Chuck nicely called the pioneers, who see the value in occupying these historic buildings and creatively looking at spaces and finding ways to program them. And one that comes to mind in particular in the city of York is our really large historic market, which during the week has several market days where it pulls people in from, you know, the surrounding county. But a couple times a month is also a venue for live music and getting national touring acts into this historic space that also happens to provide fresh food. Increasingly, we're finding these great synergies that don't do something new, just really build off of the strengths that we've already had.
And I have to tell you, your York market is part of my inspiration for what we're building downtown. That is an amazing, amazing space. And it just feels like you're in the middle of everything, no matter where you are in the market. You just feel like this is great.
Well, it's great to hear that. Thank you.
And I have to echo the First Fridays. I don't know who originated this idea, but 7 years ago, three downtown merchants amid a whole bunch of shuttered venues started the First Fridays program. And now I believe they're up to 22 members. It's a huge draw every month and they put so much work into it, but there's live music on the streets and entertainment and people want to come out and interact. It's just that they've been trained away from it, from malls, online shopping, going to larger markets to shop. And First Fridays really is putting people back in touch with their own downtowns.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And as you were speaking, it reminded me of some things we've done over the years to, you know, I think we all wish that people, that these things would just happen spontaneously and organically. But as you said, we've been conditioned over several decades to not have these, you know, sort of town square moments anywhere where you're just out and about and experiencing a bunch of different places and a bunch of different people. But I know, you know, over the years we have secured grants to have, you know, 5 or 6 musicians at different spots in our downtown. So to the people coming in and visiting, it sort of feels spontaneous. Like, oh, there's just these, you know, people performing in the street and it's this magical thing. And we've choreographed that. But the real thing that's rewarding for us now is that those do actually happen organically. We will have musicians say, hey, I'm just going to be set up in our, you know, our little pocket park along Market Street. Or, oh, is it okay if I'm outside of this business this month? And so, you know, I think these kinds of efforts need little pushes along the way from organizations like ours. But it's definitely rewarding when you see them gain traction organically and really just take off over time.
Yeah, and I'm really happy with our Downtown Cory Business Association. Their motto basically has been they're open to collaboration, they're open to partnership. So everything we do, if we're going to have a celebration, I make certain it's right before First Fridays start so people can come to the celebration and then continue the party at First Fridays. So we look for ways to feed into it. Every year now we announce our design competition at the October First Friday. And hopefully this year we're having a parade where we're challenging people to put LEDs into their costumes and have a parade downtown. So First Fridays really has been a launching pad, but the thing is that collaborative spirit, that openness rather than ownership, no, it's mine, is making a big difference, and it's symbiotic. It helps everybody involved.
Yes, and I think your last point there is really good because one of the great relationships we've seen build over time is that our business community, because of events like First Friday and some of our public festivals where you really do have arts and music happening at the same time as people coming in and shopping, you know, those merchants now see that as a correlation with, you know, people patronizing their business. And they know that if there's, you know, an activated street full of art and performance and activity, their bottom line is going to be improved. And if we can take those micro relationship buildings between business and the arts and make that on a macro level, so our larger businesses understand that synergy between a vibrant arts community and vibrant businesses, you know, I think that's the next step in the evolution of this work.
That was actually my next question, was about communication and how do you get the word out about all this amazing stuff you guys are doing, both to locals and then bigger picture to people in the state and beyond, to let them know, you know, this is happening here.
I'll take a stab at answering that. And this is where it starts to feel a little bit weird, where you're taking something that's so creative and so, I don't know, just so authentic and heartfelt, and then trying to almost convey it through numbers. I think ultimately the anecdote and the personal connection and the emotional connection to the arts is incredibly powerful. But increasingly, in your county at least, we're really trying to look at the creative economy as another sector of our economy and talk about it in similar ways. And in the same way that we look at data around how many people are, for example, in manufacturing or healthcare, we're trying to put numbers to that around our creative economy and people that do creative production and graphic design artists and architects and folks that I would say probably don't show up in a lot of typical counts of the arts, but really are part of a very broad and holistic creative economy. And then really put some dollar figures to what those contributions are and track it over time so that we know that as we're creating these platforms for creatives and investing in it, that it's really, you know, a catalyst for the growth of that sector. One of the things we're doing is actually putting quite a bit of money into a ecosystem report on our cultural economy in York County, looking at all the different assets across the county, documenting them, looking at their visitation, looking for gaps in that network and geographic gaps where there's underserved parts of the county in terms of arts and culture, and then looking at what we could be doing better as a county to invest in it, the same way that we would invest in our transportation network or broadband or you know, streetscapes in a downtown, and make that case to our county commissioners and our elected officials with the help of statewide organizations like the council and like DCED, who I think are, you know, have been saying this for many years, but we at a local level, if we could put some real data behind how it's working and contributing to local economies, I think it just makes that message much more powerful.
I call it radical collaboration. I try not to do any project unless I've got five partners or advocates. So part of it is we get word out because all the organizations are talking about the work we're doing. We also do social media. I speak at organizations. We do Zoom. We do community meetings, even during COVID on Zoom. We have not allotted money to that previously or enough staff time. We are working on that. That new grant I told you about where we're going to be taking businesses one-on-one to help them grow. We're also going to be working with creatives to build up a video and written and photography archive that basically tells the story, is on brand message, and the people involved, the businesses involved in that project, are now going to become the brand ambassadors of what we do. And we're working toward a third year where this all goes virtual in a very discoverable, very vibrant way, where you can go online, make a reservation, buy a product, see the community calendar, bundle events, and basically interact and find out what's here before you get here. We're working with the other rural communities to together build a whole brand for our region, and then each community builds its own brand. So we'll be making style guides for that.
I think you're doing some amazing things, you know, and I think you hit the nail on the head in terms of partnerships, and there's a lot of organizations in Pennsylvania where it's one or two people and they're able to accomplish amazing work, whether it's, you know, Main Street organizations or downtown groups or arts advocacy groups. One thing that we talk a lot about to our business community, and, you know, we're a chamber, we're an EDC, we are sort of those groups that have traditionally been focused on industrial parks and large-scale commercial development. You know, it's beholden on our economic development community in Pennsylvania to do a better job of supporting groups like yours and, you know, taking the resources that we have and being more creative in how we use them to support the kinds of things you're doing at a local level.
I find with that there's a metro, non-metro divide, and it's not intentional on either part, I don't think. Mm-hmm. I honestly feel that in this rural area, sometimes people feel like, you're not going to tell me what to do. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's another thing that we're really focused on, is saying we're in this together and we rise and fall together, just so things like that can start to happen. Because you're right, the people who are the best at it should be doing it. But unless they feel welcome, it's hard for them to do it. So sure. We're trying to build those partnerships and have everyone see how much better things go when we work together. I really think it's going to make a difference, but it's hard when you're 30 miles away from the city and you don't know anybody there. And most communities, Corey is very fortunate to have created this organization. Most communities do not have, small communities don't have even a community development director, let alone community and economic.
Last question. I want you to look into your crystal balls, and it's like a very optimistic, like a best case scenario crystal ball. Because I think we all need that right now. Can you just give me a little bit of a vision of what you hope your community looks like when it comes to the arts in 5-10 years?
I would say my most optimistic vision of that is that we see a reversal of the direction I think we've been going a little bit at a state and sort of regional level, in terms of, you know, trying to build up some really robust support networks to support PA Council on Arts, support some creative economy work within DCED, provide more robust funding for rural arts heritage organizations across Pennsylvania. I do think that if the economic development community and revitalization community can work with the arts community, and really be an advocate, it starts to make a more compelling message for taking full advantage of opportunities like the American Rescue Plan Act and, you know, the previous CARES Act in allocating money to the arts as if it were an important economic sector. I know in York County, we have more people in our creative economy than we do in our real estate and financial services economy. And yet the amount of support that goes to real estate and financial services and the amount of advocacy that happens around it is just on a, you know, totally different plane. And yet it doesn't contribute more to our economy than the arts. It's, you know, on equal footing without all the other added benefits. So I think, you know, in a perfect world, we have more and more advocates across sectors who are seeing the value of investing in arts and culture. And then that actually translates to some new novel creative approaches to investing in, you know, creative for-profit businesses and then the nonprofit sector that's doing the creative placemaking and other great work in our communities that's really based on the arts.
10 years from now, I want our entire trail network we're building to be also an art trail featuring the work of regional artists that also create power or do something incredible to educate about important things. I hope that Corey has an industrial arts center and artists live workspaces. I hope our neighborhoods express their identities through the arts and our downtown as well, and that our creative economy is supportive enough that artists can live here and make it without being a postman or a summer painter. They can truly be artists. For the big 10-year goal, I'm an optimist. Let's say that we can impact up to 5 counties to start doing this in rural areas. That would be my goal, is that the cities find their brand, their personality, and they use the arts to express it and to learn. Because honestly, I'm a firm believer in STEAM. I feel that the art teaches problem solving and it is adaptable and makes you flexible, and I just want that for all the communities, not just my own.
Yeah, I'm going to tell the team they need to make it up to Corey, because now I'm really intrigued. Sounds like there's some awesome stuff going on.
There is, and it's all because we put a plan together and we're actually doing it. I kept thinking, where is the Real Housewives moment where we just fully disagree on something? But hopefully people can... Hopefully people can find excitement and ideas rather than anger.
Right, let's hope so.
Let's hope so.
That's it for our latest episode of Prism. If you have thoughts on the conversation you just heard or ideas for what we should cover in upcoming episodes, please visit our website, keystoneedge.com. You can also reach us through our social channels, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, where we operate under the handle @KeystoneEdge. Until next time.